Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. There's a passage of Scripture I'd like to reflect upon during this service. I hope you'll reflect upon it with me as well. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. I'd like to make a couple comments about this passage, as well as Ken and to his family. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14, allow me to read it to you. Please listen carefully. This is God's word. Paul writes these words, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumbering, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness or sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." The word of the Lord. There's an old poem on a clock in England that goes like this. It says, "When I was a child, I laughed and I wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I waxed more bold. Time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, in passing on, time gone." You know, time's wasting. We don't have much time left. When I was growing up, my dad, who is now 82 years old, he would say to me, "Steve, it seems like yesterday I was 17. Where did the time go?" I now wonder the same thing. You know, I think sometimes you and I should be like that little boy who heard the old grandfather clock in his grandparents' home, which was now old and malfunctioning, chime 15 times. And he said, "Grandma, I think it is later now than it has ever been before." It is. It is. It is later now than it has ever been before. Today, this day is later on God's calendar than it has ever been before. Each new gray hair, each new wrinkle, each funeral we attend is a reminder, a vivid reminder that it is later now than it has ever been before. So it is high time to quit wasting time. And what are we wasting our time on? Oh, so many things. We people are experts at wasting time. We're experts at dawdling away life. And our text here, especially in verse 13, mentions a few things, because verse 13 mentions one thing that is a royal waste of time. Verse 13 talks all about sin. Sin is a giant waste of time. Any thought, any attitude, any word, any deed
that breaks God's command, that breaks His will, is a giant waste of time. It is a dead end. Anything that separates us from God, anything that separates us from one another, anything that brings misery in this life and ends in death and brings the wrath of God upon us in the life to come is one giant, royal waste of time. Verse 13 mentions particular sins. This is where we pastors move from preaching to meddling. The last word mentioned in verse 13 as a royal waste of time is jealousy. A particular sin that can even strike us in our older years. You who are Ken's peers, his siblings, his cousins. To resent what God has done for others and to belittle what God has done for you is a royal waste of time. Why do we craft our lives around jealousy? Verse 13 mentions another one. The second to last word is quarreling. Another royal waste of time. Quarreling. Bickering and fighting over disagreements that fracture beautiful human relationships, beautiful immediate family and extended family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, that fractures these beautiful relationships God has crafted, is a royal waste of time. Verse 13, Paul also speaks to you who are young. Maybe some of you in Ken's generation chuckled at some of those words I read and thought, I haven't struggled with that one for a while. You who are young, Paul mentions wild parties. Rushing from partner to partner to partner to sample counterfeit love is a royal waste of time. Paul mentions drunkenness. Drinking until you drop. Or drinking to medicate the sorrow and find yourself becoming more and more dependent on it day by day and night by night, a royal waste of time. Paul even gets real specific. He mentions sexual immorality, debauchery. A night on the town, ready to hook up with whoever, whenever, wherever, enjoying the thrills of cheap, quick sex is a waste of time. Because in verse 13, all of the things mentioned, the sins of our youth all the way up to the sins of our old age, Paul tells us that these are desperate attempts to fill an otherwise empty life. And Paul says that if you yourself are involved in any of them, if you yourself are trying to take refuge in them, to find joy in them, to engage in them, and to surround yourself with them, you are wasting your time on things that are actually quite evil. And evil always catches up to us. So, dear friends, it's high time to quit wasting time. We don't have forever. And so Paul tells us in verses 11 and 12 one simple command, and I'll share that command with you this morning, and it's this. Wake up. I'm so glad the family chose 11 a.m. to 12-ish to be the hour of the funeral, because everybody should be awake by 11. Some of you grandmas and grandpas have been up a long time already this morning. You wonder what those young people are doing, crawling out of bed in the summer at the hours they crawl. Well, I would say by 11, I hope the young are up as well. Now that we're all awake, and we're all here, you hear the Apostle Paul who says, wake up. Verse 11, he says in verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. Jesus is coming again. It may be very soon. For Ken, Jesus came last Saturday, and he was escorted into the presence of Jesus. And now Ken is there. Seems like only yesterday that I met Ken. It was 13 years ago. Time flies. Now Ken is with Jesus. Well, the Bible teaches one day Jesus will come again in power and glory. He may come for you on that day, or he may come for you on the day of your death. Whatever that day may be, he is coming. And we know that he is coming because the first time he came, the Bible predicted it for thousands of years. The Old Testament prophecies predicted his life, his death, his resurrection, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, crucified among thieves, buried in a rich man's grave, raised from the dead. And since that event came to pass the first time, it makes us pay attention when he and the apostles predict he's coming again. And that prediction was made, in case you think you have plenty of time, several thousand years ago. He's coming. Today is closer than yesterday. But Paul goes on, even in this passage, to have the audacity to say that the day is almost here, to which he said that 2,000 years ago. What Paul meant by that day is almost here is that it is the next big event on God's calendar. The day is almost here. In fact, this day where we stand, you and I are approaching the final act of redemptive history. The other acts are now over, and we read about them. Act 1, the creation of the world. Act 2, the fall of the world into sin, led by our first parents and we joining them with alacrity. Act 3, the forming of his church in her various stages. Act 4, the sending of his son to live and die and rise again. And now we're approaching, in God's redemptive unfolding, the final act, his second coming. It's the last act, and it's almost here. I dare you to blink your eye. It will be here before you know it. As suddenly as Ken went to be with our Lord, so God shall descend with a mighty shout. So it's time to wake up. So this brings us to our final point. Time's a wasting. Secondly, it's time to wake up. And then thirdly, get ready to go. Verse 12 and verse 13 says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And so, listen closely, because this is the pivot point. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Put aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Turn away from that sin that Paul has tried to convince us is a royal waste of time. Repent of that sin. Leave it there. Leave those friends, leave those places, leave those locations, leave those experiences there. Turn away from the royal waste of time and agree with God that that's wrong, that that is evil, that that is a giant waste of time that brings misery in this life, death on earth, and the judgment of God forever. And once you turn away from that, you put that off and follow Grandpa and put on the light, the armor of light. Have faith in Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." When you put on Jesus, you are receiving Him by faith, saying no to that waste and saying yes to life and light and eternity and joy. When you put on the armor of light and you put on Jesus Christ, it's a sweet deal. You give Him your old armor, He takes it off. Your sin, its misery, and its judgment, and you clothe yourself with the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And then a strange thing starts to happen. People start to notice. If people have to wonder, I wonder if they're going to church these days. I wonder where that person who sits in the pew week by week stand with God. If you are making people wonder, is there light in your life? Because I can assure you, according to the Sermon on the Mount, that if Jesus' armor of light is upon you, then by God's grace and the Holy Spirit, you will let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Here's the dangerous part of the sermon. I'm going off script. I actually write my funeral sermons because I get emotional like everybody else. But I just want to tell you a story. I've known Ken for 13 years, and that eulogy was beautiful. I'd love a copy of it afterwards to share with our whole congregation. Because Ken was a jokester. He smiled. He made the grandkids laugh. But I got to see Ken cry. And it was actually a privilege many times. When it would happen, I always felt so guilty. Oh, Ken, no, don't cry. I'm sorry. But actually, it was good. What made Grandpa cry? Loved ones not walking with God. And so if you're one of them, I actually don't know your names. Don't feel strange if I greet you at the meal. I don't know who you are. You can smile and act normal. But on behalf of your grandpa, I preach this message. On behalf of your uncle, on behalf of your brother, or your father, or your friend, or your coworker, I preach this message. Because it's time. That man who prayed for you for decades and preached the gospel to you through his words and by his deeds has preached his final earthly message. And I've delivered it on his behalf. You don't have forever. Wake up and get ready to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we can hide your word in our heart, that we might not sin against you. Today we have heard your word, we have sang your praise, we have eulogized and remembered our brother Ken. We have all been directed to his Savior and ours, the Lord Jesus Christ. So So we pray that your word would have its effect, that even today we all would renew faith with you. Quit wasting time. Repent and turn from what is wrong and have faith in Christ and believe what is right. Grant that even those that meant most to Ken would even this day embrace you and even tell Grandma all about it. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.